author and environmental activist Mike Bond has spent years trying to write about what he sees as the wrongs of our society. His book, Saving Paradise, is no different. Hello, I'm Guy Rothman. Welcome to Ideasphere, a platform for today's voices with Mike Bond. In this scenario, Bond provides his readers with a story. The events are true, but they're wrapped inside fiction. The backdrop of Saving Paradise is present-day Hawaii. The real-life story pits the local residents against the tides of billion-dollar corporations, politics, organized crime, and unions. Mr. Bond, thanks so much for joining the show.
Well, thank you very much, Guy. It's an honor to be on the show. It really is.
I have enjoyed your most recent book, Saving Paradise, in which you tackle the energy industry in Hawaii. But this is real life event, and you're doing that in not so much the clandestine way, but you are certainly fighting the wind industry that you feel is damaging to Maine's industry and environment.
That's true. And it's not only Maine, it's California, it's Hawaii, it's all over the United States, and in fact, all over the world. It's the whole industrial wind program has turned into what, for us who care about renewable energy and care about the environment, has turned into a real tragedy. We're learning more and more, and the United States is kind of the last country to find out, that industrial wind, these huge turbine towers reaching 50 stories or more into the sky and slaughtering birds and bats and everything else, they actually do not in any way lower greenhouse gases or fossil fuel use. And in some countries and in some places in the United States, we're finding that they actually do increase generation of CO2 and other greenhouse gases, as well as increase use of fossil fuels. So for those of us who care about the environment, who care about climate change, we're realizing that it's absolutely time to curtail this scam-ridden, public welfare-driven corporate scandal and replace it with what really works, which is rooftop solar.
How is it that we have been misinformed on this? We are hearing so much about the benefits of this industry, clean, silent, and non-polluting. Although I pick up the paper just a short time ago and I hear about the number of eagles that are being killed by the wind turbines in California.
Yeah, California leads the nation in eagle killings, but also thousands of other raptors and the bird deaths and bat deaths, many of species of which are actually rare and endangered. It's colossal. A recent study published in Forbes magazine a couple of weeks ago anticipates that the bird and bat deaths, if Obama's new wind program is put into action, the bird and bat deaths from these new wind turbines over the next 10 years will be 530 million. Basically, it's not really that complicated. What the problem basically with wind power is because wind is so erratic, going up and down all the time, and you need a constant flow of juice into the grid, or you can cook your grid, or you can have brownouts. So every time you institute a wind project, you have to have fossil fuel or other fixed generation, because wind is called intermittent in that it fluctuates all the time. You have to have another fixed generation source that second by second manages the amount of power into the grid to keep it constant, so that in essence, if your wind is fluctuating up and down, you've got a gas-fired or coal-fired power plant that's running full-time just to level out that generation. And what we're finding worldwide, all over the United States and worldwide, is that the amount of fossil fuel used and the amount of greenhouse gases generated by this so-called spinning reserve is equal to or exceeds the amount of power that the amount that would be generated if there were no wind at all. I'll give you an example. Germany just announced a week ago that in 2012, they brought more wind power on, and as a consequence, their fossil fuel use, which was mostly coal generation, climbed over 2011. The UK has found the same thing. The state of Massachusetts has found the same thing. Other studies, there has never been a reliable study anywhere in the world that indicates a reduction of CO2 or fossil fuel use due to wind projects.
What you say about the fluctuation brings to mind that the critical condition of the wind and its fluctuation is seen during the day, but at night, it essentially, in most areas, shuts down. You don't get too many windy evenings, late evenings, and overnight.
Particularly not on the California coast. I mean, the area from Santa Barbara through San Luis Obispo all the way up to Monterey County, that tends to be pretty quiet at night. And in other places where the wind doesn't blow at night, the utilities curtail the power, which means they can't use it. So at some point, if we have time, it would be fun to take the idea of a 100-megawatt wind project, and I can show you very quickly that the absolute amount of megawatts actually produced by that project is 7 megawatts. For instance, it was recently a recent study in California where there's 13,000 wind turbines right now in California, that the power generated by those 13,000 wind turbines could be replaced, could be exceeded by one 550-megawatt gas-fired power plant. Now, those 13,000 wind turbines take 120,000 acres and generate an enormous amount of CO2 because of spinning reserve. And the one 550-megawatt power plant, a gas-fired power plant, would produce far less greenhouse gases, would sit on 15 acres rather than 120,000 acres, wouldn't kill any birds and bats, wouldn't sicken people and drive them from their homes. It's ludicrous. What it is, it's a whole series of decisions at the national level which have been, what can I say, pushed by these huge energy companies, these wind companies. BP, British Petroleum, the folks that gave us the Gulf of Mexico oil spill, have been for years the largest owner of wind projects in the United States, for instance. These companies have so greased the skids of political contributions, which is one of the things I talk about in my book, Saving Paradise, that many politicians are basically hooked to them. And as well as the environmental groups like the Sierra Club and Audubon.
What is the advantage of having the wind power if it's not, A, providing enough energy, and B, is so expensive?
There's absolutely no value to wind power. You take a state like California, particularly the southern half of the state. I lived for a long time in San Francisco, where the sun is a relatively rare occasion. Uh-huh. But, down in Santa Barbara, when I was little, we lived in Carmel, and it was sunny there all the time. In a state like California, there should be rooftop solar on every single house and every business and every strip mall. We could lower in California the energy demand from centralized generation. We could lower that by 40% if people put solar panels on their roofs, and we could do it with absolutely no subsidies at all.
Although I've been hearing that even solar panel causes problems, and one of the biggest is with firefighters who are trying to gain entry through the roof. This becomes an obstacle.
That may be. I have solar on my roof, and we pay a hookup charge of $8 a month for our electricity, while our neighbors pay over $200. And I've fought enough fires. You could go through those panels in a minute. You just got to chop a hole.
Okay.
But I wouldn't worry about that, Guy. It's California should be the poster child for rooftop solar. One of the things that Governor Brown has not done is he's focused too much on wind power, which has had catastrophic results all over Southern California. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at Palm Springs, you look at Tehachapi, or you look at what people in areas like the Ocotillo Indians in eastern San Diego County, their entire reservation has been trashed by Pattern Energy, which is a San Francisco wind company, because of the federal funding that Pattern got and the way that the feds absolutely ignored environmental damage. And one thing that, just this is an aside, Guy, but one thing that the wind energy companies tend to do is they look for what they consider to be easy prey, which in the case of Hawaii was the native Hawaiians on Molokai, or oftentimes in California, it's the Indian tribes.
And you're listening to Ideasphere on Public Radio KCBX. Call now with your pledge of support for programs like this with host Guy Rathbun. Call 549-8855, 800-549-8855, or on the web at kcbx.org. Joining us from Pledge Central are Roger Mastico and General Manager Frank Lanzone.
Thank you, Brian. It's great to be here with you. We're urging you to call with your pledge of support. Listening to this programming on a regular basis is what we hope you appreciate more than anything, and we'll support it by giving us a call, pledge your support, or go online at kcbx.org. Your dollars are what keep it happening day in and day out. Support us at 549-8855, 800-549-8855 if it's a toll call for you from anywhere where you're hearing us, whether you're listening to us on the stream or live or any doggone place.
Any place in the free world, as we want to say from time to time here.
Exactly. Call right now. Pledge your support. 549-8855.
And anybody who's listened for a long time knows there's pledge premium. So I just want to talk about one because it's available. This is the first day of pledge drive. It will not be available week two, guaranteed. It's been donated by Mark Goldberg at Windward Vineyards. It's always donated. It's always snapped up. For a $240 pledge, you can visit Windward Vineyard up in Paso. Wonderful Pinots that they make. You can taste four of his vintages, plus a special offering pulled out of a cellar from the library selection. He's going to give you four Riedel Pinot glasses to take home. Select one of the vintages for yourself, as well as a party with artisan cheese, local Italian salami. Everybody who's gotten this premium says it's absolutely worth it. It's good for, and it's for four people. So you got four people you're going to take and host. Have a wonderful event. They've got a bocce ball court, so you can go play bocce ball after you've enjoyed your wine, cheese, and salami. $240 pledge. Give us a call, all you Guy Rathbun groupies out there. Go up there and enjoy a wonderful afternoon up at the Windward Vineyards.
549-8855 is the number to call, online at kcbx.org. But if you want one of these special premiums, give us a call right here at the studio. We have two premier tickets for the Earth Day Food and Wine main event. It's a $200 pledge of support, and this features earth-friendly cuisine, sustainability-produced wines, live entertainment, educational exhibits, proceeds benefit sustainable ag research, farm workers and youth outreach programs conducted by the Central Coast Vineyard Team, a local nonprofit organization. This is happening April 12th, 1 to 5 p.m. at Costoro Cellars, 549-8855.
Yeah, and you're not just going to go there. You'll sit at the KCBX table. There's a goodie bag that comes with it. It's quite a nice event because it's not just wine. What they do is they take every wine and pair it with food. You walk around, and it's a lovely evening instead of let's see how much wine we can drink. It really focuses on both the food and the wine. We're getting some signals from our control room that it's about time. We're either going to stretch this thing out 4 minutes or wrap it up. I forget what the sign means. But let me just tell you, 549-8855 is the number to call. Make your pledge if any of the premium, or give us it. Sometimes people call and say, look, I'd like to make a pledge of $200. What kind of premiums you got? The volunteers go over, pull the cards, read them out. So if you're going to make a pledge, you're thinking about a premium, chat with some of our volunteers. They'll hook you up with the right thing for you, your lifestyle, and all that money benefits KCBX because all the premiums are donated.
Mayhang Lo Noodle House, located at 815 Palm Street in San Luis Obispo, provided a scrumptious meal for our volunteers and staff, and we thank Paul and the crew very much.
549-8855, 1-800-549-8855, on the web at kcbx.org. The time is now 1:44. We rejoin Ideasphere with Guy Rathbun.
Anyone wanting to read a good thriller, as well as gain insight into wind power and the control of such, should read Saving Paradise.
It's kind of a paradigm that I'm trying to create, which is what I call guerrilla literature, not in the sense of the chest-beating guerrilla, but the idea of a small revolutionary attack on a culture. And there are many things that we need to improve in our culture today, in America today. We're doing many things wrong, and one could write an innumerable number of nonfiction books about problems. I could have written a nonfiction book about wind power, but by writing a thriller, and particularly one, according to readers, that once you read one page, you're hooked, then you can change hearts and minds.
Let's look at Hawaii and the situation that you faced in writing the novel. Your protagonist is a veteran, and he's been imprisoned once. Although he was released, he's still a felon, a former felon.
Yeah, he's a special forces guy. He's a surfer.
And as one is reading the book, they're learning a lot about wind power and exactly what is happening in Hawaii, or what was happening. You were very successful with your efforts.
Yeah, we managed to kill the project. What the project was, and again, Molokai is one of the six major islands of Hawaii. It's less known than the others. It's mostly inhabited by 7,000 folks for a full-size island, and most of them live in one of two towns. And it's where my wife and I spend a good part of our time. Again, because it was Hawaiians an easy prey, a combination of two governors of Hawaii, one which was a Republican, one which is a Democrat, together with a whole bunch of wind companies, decided to build this colossal wind project all over one half of Molokai, ship the so-called power in a high-voltage cable through the National Whale Sanctuary to Oahu, where it would have ended up providing only 2% of Oahu's power, but would have devastated Molokai, which, by the way, National Geographic rates as the sixth most beautiful island in the world. So that was the battle. It was us, a small group of relatively impecunious folks, against this enormous array of enemies from the Obama administration and the Department of Energy and the Democratic Party and multi-billion dollar energy funds like the Carlyle Group and Riverstone Holdings. But we beat them.
However, as one reads the book, the fictitious characters should in their mind remain so, because there are some pretty vicious people here who obviously are out for their own pocketbook.
Yeah, it's amazing the amount of personal threats, death threats and everything else that people received from these propagators of this huge wind industry scam. And all of it was going to be paid for by the taxpayer, the federal taxpayer, i.e. you and me and all of the listeners out there. We're all paying for this scam to the tune of billions and billions and billions of dollars, which, of course, tax revenues don't cover, so they get tacked on to our national debt, raising our national debt now to, what is it, $17 trillion? Yeah, it's somewhat dangerous. In fact, now the island next to Molokai, which is Lanai, was sold by one multibillionaire, David Murdoch of Castle and Cook infamy, to another multibillionaire, Larry Ellison. And now the two of them, they're planning to put a huge wind project on Lanai, which, again, will drive a high-voltage cable right through the whale sanctuary, which is known to be extremely difficult for whales, porpoises, turtles, monk seals, and all kinds of other creatures, and will completely disorient them to take power to Oahu, where it will provide 2% of the power. And studies have found that with just normal, minimal conservation efforts on Oahu, they can reduce demand by 8.6%. So one other thing that's interesting here, the utility, the monopoly utility for most of the Hawaiian Islands, which is called HECO, or Hawaiian Electric Company, they are doing their best to make it impossible to put solar panels on your roof. And this gets into another issue, which is the whole issue of centralized versus distributed generation. The difference is, traditionally in the United States and worldwide, we generate power in one location, usually with some form of fuel such as gas or coal or nuclear, or in some cases hydroelectric. And then we run that power at a great loss through transmission lines to a distant source, where it is put into a distribution system and eventually makes its way to businesses and homes. That's called centralized generation. What rooftop solar does, and it's getting cheaper and cheaper all the time, you generate a good lot of the power you need right on your own roof. So instead of being a slave to these centralized generators, in the case of my wife and I, in our house, we generate all of our power by solar. But you generate a substantial portion of your power by solar, and you reduce your power demand. Therefore, you have far less need of the distribution system, of these huge transmission lines, and of these centralized power generation plants. And the utilities, of course, have debt on all these power plants. They have debt on all these transmission lines. They have a huge amount of accumulated debt in the form of retirement and everything else. And when you drop the amount of demand that you need from them, you drop the amount of money that you need to pay them, and you strand them financially. So the future of the United States is going to be the disappearance of the large-scale utilities. Not disappearance so much as the minimization of them and the replacement of most of that generation by rooftop solar. And Guy, you were talking about Maine earlier.
Yes.
The way that rooftop solar works, it works just as well in cold climates. And when you have snow, it even increases the generation by a thing that's called the albedo effect, where the light bounces off the snow and adds to the amount of power going into your solar panels.
We should add that all the money that comes from the sales of your book, Saving Paradise, are going to be donated to the anti-wind fight.
Absolutely. This brings up another huge issue, which is the bifurcation, if you wish, of the environmental movement. More and more true environmentalists, and I consider myself to be a true environmentalist in the sense that I've been fighting for the environment ever since I was a kid. In my early 20s, I was lying down in front of logging trucks to stop the logging of what is now the Golden Gate National Recreation Area in Marin County, California. I worked for Governor Brown. I did the master plans for a number of California wild and scenic rivers, including the Smith River in Northern California, which is the largest wild and scenic river in the lower 48 states. I worked for 4 years as the project manager developing the master plan of that with a group of 52 scientists and planners. And I've been fighting all over the world for the environment for many years. In fact, used to work with the Sierra Club. I worked closely with Dave Brower on a number of projects. And what's happening now is groups like the Sierra Club and Audubon Society, they're getting so many contributions from the industrial wind companies. Now, of course, these contributions originally came out of our pockets in the form of subsidies, taxpayer subsidies, that these people are now behind the wind energy thing, even though they understand that it produces no relevant power, doesn't lower greenhouse gases, doesn't lower fossil fuel use, but they're hooked to the contributions. In the state of Maine, for instance, Maine Audubon, four of their top 10 contributors, which is nearly half of their total annual revenue, are wind companies. Or wind company, you know, consultants, as it were.
Sure.
So they come out in favor of wind. And even though wind is slaughtering rare and endangered bird species and removing them from the planet, it's interesting that the environment minister of the UK a couple of months ago said that they're coming to the conclusion that wind energy or industrial wind has more environmental impacts than climate change. And I think that's an important thing for us all to understand, that we've really gone down the wrong road here, and it's time to turn around and go back to solar.
Well, Mr. Bond, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. I enjoyed your work very much. I look forward to what you're doing. How can folks follow you? Do you have a website you'd recommend or Twitter, anything else?
Yes, Guy. It's MikeBondBooks.com. You can always reach me through MikeBondBooks.com. And all of my previous novels, which, again, are kind of guerrilla lit, one on death squads in Central America, another relating to elephant poaching in Africa, where I helped to track down elephant poachers. All of my books are now being republished, and all my new ones relating to Afghanistan and Iraq and other issues are being published. So it's a good place to look for what's happening with my books.
Well, thank you very much. Keep up the work.
Well, thank you, Guy. You know, I really appreciate having the opportunity to be on the program, and you've done a lot of wonderful things over a number of years, and just keep trucking.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that very much.
Take care, and thank you again.
Thank you. All the best.
All the best to you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. My guest has been Mike Bond, Saving Paradise. Check out his website at MikeBondBooks.com. This program is a distribution of Public Radio Exchange, PRX.org. If you have any questions, write to me at RathbunProductions@gmail.com. It's Pledge Drive at your local public radio station. The best way to recognize the value of the programs you hear is to make that pledge now. Here's the number to call.
Or on the web at kcbx.org. However you do it, we need to hear from you now. Joining us is Roger Mastico.
Yeah, thanks, Brian. And Guy is right. The only way to make sure that you're going to get what you need out of public radio day in and day out, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, is to make that pledge. We can go into lots and lots of numbers, but let's just say that almost 60% of the funds that support this station come from individuals who are calling up and making their pledge, whatever they can do. And one of the things, we haven't talked about it yet, but it's important, if you say, gosh, I'd like to be a $240 a year pledge, but I don't pledge person, but I don't really have the cash right now, when you talk to the volunteers, say, set it up, $20 a week, $20 a month comes, $20 a week would be great. That would be a $10,000 supporter. We love those very much as
call,
well.
Call right now.
But you can set it up so it's just whatever you do, divide it into 12 payments. We'll take it out of your checking account. We'll take it off your credit card on a secure basis. And you can know that you've taken care of the pledge. If you can do $365, what we call the dollar a day, again, that would be about $30 a month. You'll get invitations to our spring brunch that we have. Last year it was over at the Embassy Suites. It was a wonderful event. Lots of other things come from being a member of the Dollar a Day Club. Please give us that call, 549-8855. Tell us how important public radio is, because without your money, it isn't going to happen. And we need your money right now. Throw us some love, 549-8855 this afternoon.
1-800-549-8855. And go to our secure web server at kcbx.org, where you can pledge securely and use your credit card or debit card to make that pledge of support. And whether you pay it all in one fell swoop or in monthly installments or quarterly installments, you decide how you do it, and we'll help you do it that way. Become a sustaining subscriber, where you just become a subscriber for life or until you change it by increasing it or decreasing it or saying no more. And that way you are there helping us get there even faster before we even start these pledge drives. You're still entered into all of the drawings that we talk about, you hear us talking about, or you read in some of the mail items we send you. You're always included in that. You're always included in any of the premiums that you hear. You're welcome to give us a call for those as well. 549-8855. Bottom line is, we make it as easy as we can for you to call us or go online and pledge your support.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're a sustainer and maybe things are going a little bit better for you, please give us a call and say, all right, I had been doing $20 a month. I think I feel comfortable with $25. Increase it. That would be a great help to us if that's possible. Again, as Frank said, it goes on until you say no. So we'll just continue to roll that forward month after month. And you can take advantage. Let's say you decided $20 a month was the level you want to give at. I'd like to bring to your attention the two CD of the Month clubs we have, speaking of monthly contributions. If you can pledge $240 on a yearly basis, you can be enrolled in the CD of the Month club. We have two flavors. We have the jazz flavor and the classical flavor. And what happens is, very carefully, these CDs are selected. They're going to be CDs that are come to the attention of Neil, have come to the attention of Marisa, who really know what they're talking about. And every month we send out a big stack of them. We've got a lot of them going.
And blues.
Oh, and blues. I'm sorry. We didn't have blues before. This is a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
Brand new. Ever expanding the opportunity. So if you like blues, and I personally do, give us a call. $240, 549-8855. Join the club. Help support KCBX. We need your support.
May Hang Lo Noodle House in San Luis Obispo provided lunch for our volunteers and staff. They're located at 815 Palm Street next to the Palm Theater in downtown San Luis Obispo, and we thank them for a great lunch. They do a great job, and we appreciate it. 1-800-549-8855. For $180 pledge of support, you can receive 5 hours from Marcy Adams at Sunrise Maintenance. Good for 5 hours of house cleaning anywhere in the Five Cities area. And Marcy does windows, too.
Whoa, go Marcy.
549-8855. A $180 pledge of support will get you that from Marcy Adams at Sunrise Maintenance.
549